from KQED.
Ken Abbey, staff attorney for the Western Region of the Federal Trade Commission, battles fraud for a living. He says quacks and con artists have been peddling fake cures since the beginning of time.
It's a pernicious problem. It's really a perennial. Ever since the days of snake oil, we've seen scams like this. And it's just as common today as it was in the past. Often it takes the form of offering a cure or treatment for a disease which is extremely serious. And people who have cancer or have HIV or some other serious disease, they're looking for a way to get help. They're looking for hope. And these people are offering fake hope.
So let's say that I have a family member who could easily be targeted by this. How do I avoid that happening? How do I warn her it's coming or protect her from the potential phone calls or mailers that might be trying to attract her into the program?
I found that one of the best ways to broach the subject is to say, hey, I heard about this scam. Have you heard about this? And it gets the ball rolling when you're talking about things that vulnerable populations might fall victim to. So most important is to keep the lines of communication open. One of the best things that pieces of advice that we give people is always ask somebody else when you've received a hot tip, when you've received a high-pressure sales pitch, when you received the bit of miracle medical information.
You've named some of the red flags, high-pressure sales pitch, but I'm thinking, and this is particularly true for a lot of elderly Californians, there are phone lists that scamsters pass around among each other that identify phone numbers where there is somebody alone at home, possibly lonely and eager to chat. And oftentimes the pitch won't be high pressure. It'll be slow and steady, calling on a regular basis, just chatting casually. And then the pitch comes later. And the very gradual nature of this scam is what makes it so terrible.
Even with a slow and careful pitch like that, there are red flags to look for. For example, if you're dealing with a medical cure, the most important thing to look at is, first of all, is this an easy treatment for a serious disease? That's something to be suspicious of in all contexts. Another aspect is natural. When you hear that something is natural as a way to cure a serious disease or treat it, that's something that you should be very careful about, because just because something is natural doesn't mean it's safe or effective. And another red flag is a conspiracy theory. If someone is telling you, look, there's a conspiracy out there between doctors and pharma companies to prevent you from finding out this information, that's usually a good red flag that, well, wait a minute, how is it that you have the secret information that no one else has heard about? This is a really big red flag when people start telling you, don't trust anyone else and don't talk to anyone else. And that's the fourth big red flag that I would mention, which is if anybody tells you, keep this a secret, don't tell anyone else about this, this is just between us, that's time to walk away.
So let's say that I or somebody I love has been scammed already. It happened, the money is out the door, we're out, I don't know, $2,000 or $12,000 or $120,000. Where do we turn? Who do we tell?
The first and perhaps not particularly obvious place to complain is to the person who took your money. Often, scam artists don't want to get on the radar of things like the Attorney General or the Better Business Bureau. And if you file a complaint, that's starting to put them on the radar of these organizations. And so if you complain to the folks who took your money, sometimes they'll give you your money back just to keep you from complaining. The second line of defense is talking to the way that you made the payment. Hopefully you used a credit card, because credit cards offer the best protection. But however method you paid, talk to your bank, talk to your credit card provider. Say, look, this money was taken from me unfairly, and I need your help in getting it back. Credit card companies especially will go to bat for you, but there are rules in place for all kinds of payment processors to help you get your money back. And finally, complain to places like the Attorney General's Office or the Better Business Bureau or the Federal Trade Commission to get your complaint out there.
We've all heard about understaffed law enforcement agencies, especially when it comes to things like white-collar crime. Are my local, regional, even federal law enforcement agencies going to care if I lost $2,000?
The reason why we have agencies like the Federal Trade Commission is you may have lost only $2,000, which is a lot of money to you, but not cosmically speaking. But if there are 100,000 people who each lost $2,000, well, that's a lot of money. And so it's important to get your complaint is, because enforcement agencies like the FTC and the Attorney General's office, they look for trends in complaints. They look for spikes in the numbers of complaints or trends in the types of complaints that we're getting. So if you put your complaint in, that helps us. And without consumers complaining to us, we don't have any eyes or ears in the marketplace.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for your time.
That was Attorney Ken Abbey of the Federal Trade Commission. We've got all sorts of links to helpful resources at californiareport.org.